Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. This is the Happy Mother's Day show, and Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers and all you fine partners, gentlemen, who have birthed children, daughters, and sons. Today's show is going to turn Happy Mother's Day and hopefully give it a deeper meaning. Really, the essential question today is, when we thank our moms, when we hug our moms, when we give our moms flowers and candy, when we show up and have dinner, when we do all those things we associate to Mother's Day, what are we really thanking them for? Now, I know you have your version of that. After 60 minutes of today's show, I hope to deepen that version. Because from my standpoint as a doctor, when I watch women birth children, I have a whole special vantage point on exactly what they're giving. I see it probably in a whole different way than you do. And I'm sure we intersect somewhere along the line. But wait till you listen to what I have to say for today. So, Happy Mom's Day. What moms really give to their children. Show 312. Here we go. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's .cc. And Straight Talk with two T's. If you're driving, I'll just describe everything and you use your imagination, the theater in your mind. All right, moms birthing children, not from the standpoint of the child and what the child needs, but from the standpoint of the mom and what the mom needs. That's today's show. As we kind of know, but I think at this stage of the game of forgetting, is that well into the 1900s, up to about the 1940s, a lot of women would die at birth. Any farmer will tell you that when an animal births, outside of modern techniques, modern surgical techniques, the farmer always prayed twice when his animal was giving birth. And back then, pre-1930, 1800s, 1700s, impoverished countries. But I'm talking about the United States of America up to 1930. A lot of moms died at birth. In fact, if you go into the social history, meaning if you don't read the history, but the history of society, what people really said and thought at breakfast, how they went about their day, the little things. Back then, you'd look at a woman and you'd say, gee, Fred, that woman has childbearing hips. Who says that today? In the last 20 years, in your recollection, has anybody that you know looked at a woman and said, those are childbearing hips? I'll bet she could pop out a dozen. You don't think of it that way anymore. Cesareans, episiotomies, better sterility techniques, just better health care in general, in some sense better, has removed that colloquialism, childbearing hips. But what that really meant back then is when you looked at the shape of a woman's pelvis, if you even looked at the shape of a woman's pelvis in relationship to the size of her husband, you were already thinking, grandma always was, thinking in terms of whether this young lass is going to be able to push a bunch of children down that vaginal canal without killing herself in the process. And that was the reality of the day. Maternal mortality rates were very high, enough to make every potential father and mother pray twice before they birth their child. Now, after the 1940s and 50s, maternal mortality dropped a lot. However, I have a show. I have a article today. If you're on the site, why are so many U.S. women dying during childbirth? There's been a distinct, alarming rise in the number of women who die during childbirth, despite modern surgical and modern hospital techniques. I put a very fine article. There's tons of articles about this. This is the talk in OBG today. This is the talk. Why is there such a discreet rise? Why are so many, as the title says, if you're on the site, why are so many U.S. women dying during childbirth? Now, it's not like it used to be, but there's been a distinct alarming rise. And I've got perspectives for you all today on all levels of this. As always, they're outside the box. As always, they're not what you're going to hear on YouTube. As always, it's not what you're going to hear on your regular radio station. As always, I think you'll find it fascinating. All right. From my standpoint, I see a young mother, before she births, as what I call tight and muscular in the pelvic diaphragm or perineal diaphragm. If I look at a mother, if I look at a married couple and a prospective mother before she gets pregnant, I think of that pregnancy, the potential of that pregnancy, relative to the strength of her perineal diaphragm. This is going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people, especially the men, but also many of the women. The perineum. So let's just talk about the perineum for those of you who are new to the show. If you go to picture number 7, or you look at picture number 8, but you should focus on 7 if you're on the site. We're looking at the pelvic diaphragm or the perineal diaphragm of the female. That means that down there, pardon the word, in the area that we call the crotch, between the vaginal canal and the anus, between the penis or the scrotum and the anus, we have a horde of muscles there. And those muscles are called the perineal muscles. If you look at those muscles anatomically from special sites of dissection, as is this picture here that's on the site, if you're there, picture number 7, if you're just driving along, understand that your perineum down there, the crotch, is effectively a sheet of muscle, a sheet. So it's not like your biceps muscle or your triceps muscle or your deltoid muscle or your pec muscle or your gluteal muscle. It's like a piece of paper, but it's an extra thick piece of paper down there in the crotch area, comprised of a multitude of muscles attached to your backbone, your sacrum, your coccyx, and your pelvis. That's similar to another diaphragm, and that's the diaphragm you hear me rant about on my shows every so many weeks, and that is the mid-thoracic diaphragm. It's the diaphragm we associate with breath. It's the diaphragm we associate with singing. An opera singer will open the thoracic diaphragm so they can enunciate, so they can bring sound up. A radio announcer will study elocution so that ultimately he can or she can bring their sound up from their bowels or from their diaphragm. Second diaphragm. There's a third diaphragm. There are three diaphragms. Now, hang in there with me because this is going to go right in to the issues of childbirth. There's a third diaphragm, and that's up in the brain, the cerebral diaphragm. And that has to do with the ventricular system of the brain. So inside your head, between your ears, is something that pumps, in this case, cerebral spinal fluid. We call that the cerebral diaphragm. It's a pumping mass of tissue that pushes fluid. We call it the ventricular system of the brain. So we have ventricles in the heart, and of course we all know that those heart muscles contract and those ventricles contract and they push blood. But up in the brain, we have something that looks like ventricles. Big sacs that contract. And of course, I put them on picture 17, picture 16, picture 15. Picture 15 is great. If you blow that picture up, you can see the entire ventricular system of the brain, that which pumps the cerebral spinal fluid, spinning around on a, looks like a pole. It's not a pole. That entire piece there is the ventricular system of the brain. And no, it's not spinning in your head, but it is pumping fluid. It is making and then pumping cerebral spinal fluid down to the end of the spinal cord and back up to the brain. So you look at youth. Take your wedding pictures out. Now, you weren't pregnant or bearing child on the day of your wedding. Look at those wedding pictures. If we focus on the female, the future mom, the one we celebrate tomorrow, that mom is three diaphragms, the perineal, the thoracic, and the cerebral. This is so common, I put an article, of course, up on top. Click to view the article on the four diaphragms. The four diaphragms, Hellman Holistic Health. They talk about a fourth diaphragm. I'm going to leave that out. Look at that article on your own. The main point is I want you today, my audience, to have an understanding of the way you can look at someone. In this case, as three distinct diaphragms. Cerebral, thoracic, meaning where you breathe from, and perineal. Now, it's the perineal diaphragm that's of great interest to us. Because as you age, as you birth, especially during birth, that perineal diaphragm increasingly over time evolves, decays, gets weak, tears, to the point where it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Now, we can look at that statement from a lot of angles. In other words, what's a perineal diaphragm supposed to do? I'll lay one down for you. You haven't really appreciated the tone of that perineal diaphragm. So, ladies, the tone of your skin. How droopy are your breasts? How droopy are your buttocks? They were high up, muscular, and tight at 20. Where are they today at 70 or 75? The tone. So that's what I mean by tone. The tone of your skin is just like the tone of the muscles in that pelvic diaphragm. And again, if you're on straighttalk.cc, when I say pelvic diaphragm, you look at picture 7, you look at picture 8. If you look at picture 18, right, in classic conventional anatomy, we call the pelvic or perineal diaphragm the urogenital diaphragm. So it really is considered a diaphragm. It's a particular area. It's like a sheet. And the point is, as you age from age 20 before kids to 30 to 40 to 50 to 60, that diaphragm, the tone of those muscles is weakening and weakening and weakening and weakening. And we're going to talk about all the different ways it can weaken or tear. Now, the point. I'll lay it straight down on the table. It is the core driving force of your hormonal integrity. It is the core driving force of your hormonal integrity. It is the core driving force, the factor, the issue behind, the what's to do about it, behind your hormonal integrity. I could do 5 shows on the hormonal thing, and every show I would be screaming the same thing. What we have done in the United States to destroy the public's concept of what we mean by the hormonal system is an atrocity. It really is nothing short of an atrocity. I can't even call it innocence. I could jump to ignorance. I could go to stupidity, outright greed. I just want to call it a true, true travesty. The public understands the hormonal system as something real important, because when it changes,